Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Brock Geiger. Geiger is a musician based in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He's performed on over 50 albums in his career, highlighting his role as both an attentive collaborator and musical chameleon. His new release is Some Nights, and it moves across a broad range of musical settings that reveal the full depth of their charms with each repeated listen. That's my conversation with Brock Geiger, coming up on Into Music Now. Are you kind of one of those people who's kind of always composing, or is this something like where you get like a concept and you say, okay, now I'm going to start writing to this idea, that sort of thing?
I'm kind of the former. I'm kind of always composing and always collecting and always, you know, like archiving ideas to grab later, whether they're like, I'm kind of a recording freak. So I have a studio and like, I'm always caught up in kind of the process of the culmination of ideas. But as that's building, like we were laughing, I'm sure it's a common thing amongst all of us, but the voice memo logs are getting too crazy for my iCloud storage, and things like that, like always kind of just like grabbing ideas. I used to do a lot of touring with a couple different bands as like a freelance kind of hired gun player. So I would always take like a portable rig with me and stuff. Like this record specifically is a collection of ideas that were kind of ideas that were collected on hotel room days and voice memos in parking lots that then when the pandemic hit actually is when I finally kind of dove into like archives of hard drives and started being like, okay, there's some common themes here. Like which of the, you know, hundreds of ideas are worth bring to life. So that was kind of the way this record came to be the state it is.
So when you have a body of ideas like that, I mean, do you have specific memories of certain pieces? You're like, oh, I was in Vancouver and I had this great idea, or is it simply just like go through and just listen bit by bit?
I've become a lot more like structured with labeling my things. And being like, oh, okay, usually it's like with a key reference and like, hey, check this out as like a bridge for so-and-so idea, you know, or like, but a lot of them, like a lot of the voice memo things where they're like in a space, you know, like you can hear traffic going by or you hear the park that you are sitting in or something. They are like very evocative to me. So I do love the like field recording element that can like bring in, or even just like a general mood that can like permeate things from the original concept. Even if it doesn't make it, it's like, oh, right, I was sitting in that park or whatever. And it was like, it had this energy. I love kind of trying to bring those initial spurs along with me as long as I can, because that kind of keeps that like initial spark excitement feeling. So I always have like, I fly my references into my Pro Tools sessions and stuff. And like, you know, even if it's months or years later, it's fun to kind of like click back and be like, why did I love this at the time? You know, what made me put 3 star emojis beside it in my voice notes?
So I have a couple questions with that, which is like, okay, so when did you first start writing music?
I started writing music and kind of writing my own songs with my bands kind of like when I started playing. Which was, I guess I was, you know, a mid teenager, 13 or 14 years old. I was just like very lucky that I had a pal, a handful of them, but one specifically in my neighborhood that was kind of learning guitar at the same time. And his dad was from the UK and had a really cool record collection. And we would just hang out in his basement, you know, like learning Pink Floyd songs and writing our versions of those. But we were like, you know, playing original music in our junior high school bands, like by the time we were like 14, 15, and, you know, like embarrassing little ditties, but like trying to be psych rock kids. It just became part of my process early because it was like a way that I immediately felt like I could could express. And for some reason, I ended up being the guy that was the singer in that band, which I guess I adopted as like, okay, I guess I can do this. Like, I got to come up with words and I'll be the guy singing them. So that kind of like started to become comfortable at an early age.
In those early times, I mean, did you have, for instance, already a sense of structure in place? Or was that something where it's just kind of like, let's just go from idea to idea and see what happens? And
yeah, writing wise, there was no structure. It was kind of like anything that was coming out was like, great. You know, it was like, okay, somehow that one emerged. How do I figure out how to make this happen more consistently? And for me, that was always just like, make sure you pick up the instrument or make sure there's the tool at hand to capture the spark, you know, which has become very convenient with an iPhone and voice recorders. But for me then, it was like, you know, these little, actually have them sitting here. It was like I was using these like, you know, crappy little like single microphone built-in cassette recorders and things, which I still use in my studio today for effects and stuff. But it was a lot of like archiving and collecting ideas to like figure out how to make sure things never got away from me. So that was a big part of my process. And then it was just like consistency. And a friend of mine, I always remember, said it's like, it's better to pick up your instrument for 10 minutes a day than like not. Even if it, you know, is just like a meandery idea. It's like you never really know when the sparks kind of are flying. So I kind of make a point of just like making sure I'm always doing it.
Yeah, that's something I wonder about sometimes when, you know, people have, you know, gotten more established and so forth. But I think about like, you know, when I was 16, coming home from work at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and just grabbing my guitar, plugging in, putting on the headphones, whatever effect I wanted. Maybe you run across something, or maybe you just express something you had to get rid of at the end of a long day.
100%. Yeah. Cathartic too. You know, it's like, I think that's such a huge, especially as people get more established and like you, maybe there's an expectation from an audience, but there becomes this expectation of yourself, you know, where you're like, hey, I've made records before. And now there's this like, okay, it better be that good, or it better, you know, whatever. But it's those like cathartic kind of like playing for yourself moments are also, I think, super important to my process. I like, you know, some people may think it's not the greatest, like my girlfriend, but like having a guitar in bed, you know, just to like get the like, I'm not thinking about this, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, there's a show on and I'm just kind of like unwinding and playing. It's like, oh, when I'm not my own biggest hurdle, like there seems to be some like freedom in like letting myself like try some things here, or like, so those moments of just like picking up just to like do, you know, are also like tend to be like rewarding.
Yeah. And then when you have a day where nothing comes, or, you know, it's just your fingers aren't working or whatever, nobody has to know.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're just hanging.
So I wonder too, if that's in the process that you were describing, having a way to capture things early on, is that where the interest in recording itself also started? Like, not only am I trying to capture this idea, but now I'm going to start thinking about like, how do I get the best sound out of this? And
yeah, it's like that part's a balancing act for me. It's cool with this record, actually. Like my collaborator who I worked with, Will McClellan, who's down in, he works at Sound City in Los Angeles. We're childhood friends. Like we kind of got into making music, and he played in those bands in my school days I was talking about. But he was the one that kind of like got into recording first. And then we were like tracking our own demos, or like making goofy songs. A lot of it was like, you know, joke songs for our friends or whatever. Like, but we, you know, had like a crappy little Tascam when we were 14, 15, and kind of like got into that as I was writing songs. So it kind of like became a part of the tool for me. And as it still is, like, I love being able to like get an idea down and like hit play and loop a guitar part and try to come up with melodies, as opposed to having to like multitask or all like throw a drum part down just to like know there's a groove happening, and like just to have things like you were playing music with a band, you know, when the band is not available, like get some mojo happening in the room. So the recording part is has become kind of integral to my process. And I try to separate them where I don't go down rabbit holes and get too obsessed with like what the sound has to be until it's time for that, because I definitely will, go crazy about a kick drum tone when really like it's probably more important that there's a chorus for the song,
There is something too about having like recording gear, I think, especially like early on, there too, I was talking about being like 16 or whatever, and it's like you get your first four track, and all of a sudden it's like this thing where it's like, oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? And I found like the ideas would just start kind of pouring because there was a place to capture it. And then there was also like you can add and subtract and all that stuff.
Totally. Yeah. Like the new, like, and for me in Pro Tools now, the like endless manipulation or like what you can do with something so simple and then like find inspiration just from kind of being creative and like, again, getting out of your own way and just trying some stuff, throwing paint at the walls, we like to call it. It's like just collecting and like, the recording, whatever tape machine or Pro Tools it's going to be, it's like it's such a nice, like, and like you said, not that everyone has to hear what these processes are, but it's like it's such a good exercise to just try, and like the recording collection tools allow us to like have those archives to like poach the golden nuggets as we dump through whatever needs to come out,
That's obviously too. I imagine that as a lyricist, you probably also have, like I do as a writer, just kind of files of lines or paragraphs or whatever that get collected every years. And it's kind of funny because last fall I was going to use this line that I'd had for like 15 years, and then I backed off on it because I'm like, it's not time.
Totally. Hey, it's like if trusting yourself is like the biggest part, I find, it's like, and yeah, if you can like let that be uninhibited, it's like, oh yeah, okay, that's when we know at least you can have truth with yourself and like what is being communicated, right?
Yeah, so I wonder if in all those captures and everything, this is also something where, yeah, maybe there are pieces that built up for this album, but maybe there are things that don't get used for 10 or 15 years.
Definitely, yeah. And for this collection of songs too, like I had my own whittling process where I, went through the voice memos and the hard drives and collected my like favorite. I had like 20 tunes that I took down to Will that when we started kind of blowing up my original recordings and demos, and that kind of got whittled down naturally as like I was hands off and was like, hey, Will, what do you like? Like what is inspiring you? Like what are we gonna start working on in the room? So I have also found that like collaborators being involved and like trusting perspectives of people that you do trust is a huge part of like the letting go and the like letting things evolve. So that was kind of where this record kind of got focused and became the 10 tunes that it is.
One thing that I like about this collection, and I love this anytime this happens with a record where you get a real intimate feel, like as you're listening to it, it feels like you're going deeper and deeper into some kind of narrative, whether it's intentional or not. I don't know, somewhere along the way, it's like, oh, this not only did this grab my interest, but it held my interest. So when you're making a record, you have no idea maybe of knowing what's going to impact somebody else. So does it come down to like relying on the collaborators to say like, I think song six needs to be song 10 or something like that?
Working with Will, I just like really wouldn't trust anyone more with my vulnerability with music, or like if I'm like, hey, dude, I'm not sure about this, or like, I'm gonna try something. Hold on, he's like, it's like such a safe working space. So whenever there's feedback, it's like we're communicating without ego, and it's like so refreshing to be in a space like that, working on music. So when there was real feedback to be heard, things like, hey, this song isn't cutting it for me, or like, hey, I'm going to challenge you and like, let's, I know you've done this like elaborate demo, but let's go sit in the room and see if we can play this on a guitar and piano. And like, is it evoking for you, you know? And like putting things to the test, kind of like, are the songs there? Are the feelings there, even though you've like dressed this like demo up with a million synthesizers and it sounds cool? Is there like, does it fit any like emotive box that we're trying to, you know, push with the record? So it comes with like challenges, but like it's I love getting perspective from people because I can definitely get to, you know, do the spiral thing as I'm trying to work out my own stuff. So that was a huge part of this record and becoming the like focus 10 tunes for sure.
Can you point to, I don't know, maybe one or two songs that kind of, I don't know, surprised you in terms of where they started and then, you know, where they wound up, whether it was decisions you made or things Will suggested or things that the two of you came to an agreement on?
I mean, actually, the most recent track that we released after Later is like a perfect example of that. That was a song that for me, like it was kind of one of my like sitting in bed meditative guitar ditties for a long time. That was kind of instrumental, and like I don't play jazz, but I like study jazz guitar in my own time just to like, you know, get into like voicings and like just deepen the lingo a little bit for my musicality. But that was kind of like something that I just kind of like was playing with to work on some different voice leading and stuff. And I never actually really imagined it being a lyrical tune. It just seemed kind of like an instrumental thing that I could noodle on. It was like, it felt very calming always. It was had this kind of like really slow meandery thing. And then it eventually did become like I was humming along and I blew it up to this like elaborate, like it was very whimsical, the version I made here at my studio. Like tons of mellotron strings, and like it almost like was like kind of like Disney-esque, to be honest. And when I took it to Will, he was like, hey, great, but like let's reel it in. And like, how did it feel when you were playing this guitar and like alone in the room, you know, put yourself back in that space. And he like really forced me to like make sure it felt intimate, raw, like the thing that was appealing out of the gate. So he pushed hard for us to like build that one up from the ground. And that's kind of like a live off the floor bed performance, which felt really good and like organic for that song. And ultimately, that like became like one of my favorite tunes on the record. I think because of that, because it just feels so honest and like is not so like dressed up, you know? It was like, okay, we're gonna like really push everything that is distracting out of the way and like focus on some core elements. The moments we were able to do that across the record are really actually the most rewarding to me because it's so easy to get the candy machines going when you're producing tunes, you know, and just like distractions with sounds and cool production moves. But like, I really do want to make sure songs are reaching people. So that was one that was really, really came to light in that process for sure.
Yeah, that really is something. It's like you think about the, I don't know, I think about the records I like and it's like, or love the most. And there is that element of like, there still has to be some space in there for you to be able to go back and discover new things as opposed to where it's so loaded you can't differentiate.
Yeah, density is I and in songwriting, I don't know, I love the ambiguous, like make sure there's room for a listener's like interpretation and like not to force feed with the writing or the production, you know. It's nice to connect to audiences in a way where they feel like they can get inside the material and make sense of it for themselves.
So maybe kind of a silly question, but I have to ask. So I get sent this music via Holix, you know, so it's just streaming. And
Oh yeah.
so as I was listening to it, the first time the record came to an end, and then of course it goes right back to the beginning, but it feels like that's supposed to be what happens. Was that
Yeah,
intentional?
totally. That was one of the last kind of things we like figured out, like, you know, figured out how to execute. It was always the concept. And like in my head, I know it's not physically possible, but there's, you know, like you can cut records that have that like endless last loop where they, I can't remember what they call that, but we wanted to achieve that feeling where, you know, it's like it's this cyclical journey, and like hopefully the next time you're back through it, you have collected all of the, you know, ideas first time through the end. So next time through it, you're interpreting a new way because you have this new knowledge. And I feel like it's kind of that was important to me with like the journey I was on because it was very full of kind of non-linear self realization and learning, going through like relationship things and like oh man, like if I knew that lyric that I heard in song 4, the first time I got to song 8, I would be thinking about it differently, so I hope there's like reward in that like repeat listen and that kind of sonic move that you're referring to does encourage people to circle back.
You've been listening to a conversation with Canadian musician Brock Geiger. Find out more about Brock Geiger at brockgeiger.com. Geiger is spelled G-E-I-G-E-R. Brock Geiger's new recording, which is titled Some Nights, is out now. It features appearances from Gabe Newell, Matt Chamberlain, and Sam Gendel. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. You can send us questions and comments at info@kmuw.org. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.